Frank? While contemplating what I would speak on this day, my mind went back to when we were at the Phoenix reunion. And at the little play that they gave before the reunion truly began, in which they brought forth the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and to our country. I have thought about that many times since then, and each one of us that has been baptized into Christ has made a pledge of allegiance to Christ. We have pledged that we would take upon us His name, that we would keep His commandments that He has given us, as long as we shall live upon this earth. Not only that, but each time we partake of the body and blood of our Savior in the sacrament service, we renew that pledge that we will serve Him and keep all of His commandments. And I hope that I can bring to you something that would light a spark in your heart again. But I want to begin by using the 15th chapter of Romans and the 4th verse, because I think it is important. And then I will go to 2 Timothy. But this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman saints, and he tells them, and I believe he is telling us also, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Whatsoever things was written before Paul's time, he says, was written for that same purpose. And whatsoever things have been written before our time has been written for that same purpose. Our learning. And in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, we find something else. The 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, the 16th and 17th verses. And Paul again is writing to Timothy and telling him, "And all Scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine." Notice these things now. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture that is written by inspiration, it is profitable for those things. And for this reason, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have the Scriptures before us this day. And if we will study them, we will find those things which will make us perfect if we will abide by them. Now I'd like to take you to Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter. And read 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th verses. And this is speaking to Israel of old. No, I believe it is speaking unto us, because we are also Israel. Each one of us, the Book of Mormon tells me, that has been baptized into Christ is numbered with the house of Israel. And so it is speaking to us. It is speaking to you and I. And Jeremiah said that the word of the Lord came to him and said, "And go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Israel had drifted away. Oh, Israel had not obeyed the ordinances that God had commanded them. And brothers and sisters, with all love in my heart, if we will look at the history of the Restoration Movement, if we will look at the history of the Church of Christ, we can see that we too have drifted away from the ordinance of God. If we hadn't, we would have Zion. I'm going to say that again. If we hadn't drifted, we would have Zion. That place of safety, if you please. And then the Lord tells him, this thing we should do. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. And if we will turn unto God with full purpose of heart, our God will do those things. And again, I would like to take you to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. For again, the Lord is rebuking Israel. And I believe he's rebuking us this day. The 3rd chapter, the 7th verse. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Does that apply to us? Again, I say, yes, it does. Because if we had kept the ordinances and the commandments that God had given us in these last days, we would have Zion today. But he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein will we return? Oh, I know it goes on to say that man robbed God, but let's just look for it. Wherein shall we return? Should we not return and say what Jeremiah said, to acknowledge our iniquity, to acknowledge to our God in humility that we have gone from his ways and have not kept his voice and done those things which he has commanded us. I would like to take you to a statement made in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 81. That the Lord is saying the same thing to his people in these last days. And this was given in 18 and 32, the first 2 verses. Verily I say unto you, my servants, that inasmuch as you have given one of your trespasses, even so I, the Lord, forgive you. Notice that statement. Inasmuch as we will forgive one another their trespasses against us, then the Lord will forgive us. Nevertheless, there are those among you who have sinned exceedingly. Yea, even all of you have sinned. But verily I say unto you, beware from henceforth, and refrain from sin, lest sore judgments fall upon your heads. For unto whom much is given, much is required. And he who sins against the greater light shall receive the greater condemnation. This is our Lord speaking to us. Shall we listen? He said, ye call upon my name for revelations, and I give them unto you. And inasmuch as ye keep not my sayings, which I give unto you, ye become transgressors. And justice, judgment, is a penalty which is fixed unto my law. Therefore, what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, for the adversary spreadeth his dominions, and darkness reigneth, and the anger of the Lord is kindled against the inhabitants of the earth, and none doeth good, for all have gone out of the way. Isn't that saying the same thing that Jeremiah said? And that to him Malachi said that they had not kept his ordinances of God even in from the days of our fathers. The second verse reads, "And now verily I say unto you, I, the Lord, will not lay any sin to your charge. Go your ways, and sin no more. But unto that soul who sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God." If we continue in sin, those sins which were forgiven us when we went through the waters of baptism, yea, those sins which were forgiven us when we partake of the sacrament, will return unto us, except we continue not to sin. And again, in the Doctrine and Covenants, the 83rd section, and the 8th verse, and I truly believe that this is the Lord speaking. It says, "And your minds in time past have been darkened because of unbelief." Unbelief in what? Have we begun to not believe those things which the Lord God has given to us, the instrumentality of Joseph? Invariably, I believe we have begun to. Because if we had not, again I say, we would have Zion. "And your minds in time past have been darkened because of unbelief, and because you have treated lightly the things you have received." Vanity and unbelief hath brought the whole church under condemnation. Now listen to this. "And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, and the former commandments which I have given them, not only to say, but to do according to that which I have written." The commandments that he has given to us through Joseph, the building up of Zion, the building the temple, and those things, that we have to do them, not only to say them, but to do them. And this is the reason, that they may bring forth fruit, meat for their father's kingdom. Otherwise there remaineth a scourge and a judgment to be poured out upon the children of Zion. For shall the children of the kingdom pollute my holy land? Verily I say unto you, nay. Well, you might say that those judgments were poured out upon the early saints. But God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, that if we continue to treat lightly these things that he has given us, he is going to bring judgments upon us also. Now I would like to take you to some things that were found in the Book of Mormon on page 553. And it is very important, I believe, to us. This is the second chapter of Helaman. I'm going to begin with the 43rd verse and read to the 62nd, because it needs that to get out what I want to say. It says, "And it came to pass in the 61st year of the reign of the judges, they succeeded in retaining even half of all their possessions." The reason for this was because they had gone from the will of God, they had gone from his ordinances and his commandments, and the Lord had brought the Lamanites in upon them and had taken half of their possessions from them. It says, "Now this great loss of the Nephites and the great slaughter which was among them would not have happened had it not been for their wickedness, their abominations which was among them. Yea, and it was among those also who professed to belong to the church of God." Notice the wording. "And it was because of the pride of their hearts, because of their exceeding riches, yea, it was because of their oppression of the poor, withholding their food from the hungry, withholding their clothing from the naked, and smiting their humble brethren upon the cheek, making a mock of that which was sacred, denying the spirit of prophecy and of revelation. Did we do that? We may not say that we deny it. We may say that we believe in it. But if we don't do those things, brothers and sisters, that have been prophesied and given to us by revelation to do, we are denying it. And these next things I don't feel apply to us. They were murdering and plundering, lying and stealing and committing adultery, raising up in great contentions, and deserting away into the land of Nephi among the Lamanites. And because of this, their great wickedness and their boastings in their own strength, they were left in their own strength. Therefore, they did not prosper, but were afflicted and smitten and driven before the Lamanites until they had lost possession of almost all their lands. Now behold, Moronah did preach many things unto the people because of their iniquity. I want you to pay particular attention to this. It says, but behold, Moronah did preach many things unto the people because of their iniquity. And also Nephi and Lehi, who were the sons of Helaman, did preach many things unto the people. Yea, and did prophesy many things unto them concerning their iniquities, and what should come upon them if they did not repent of their sins. And it came to pass that they did repent, and inasmuch as they did repent, they did begin to prosper. If we desire to have the blessings of God poured out upon in full measure, then we too to repent, that we might prosper. And when Moronah saw that they did repent, he did venture to lead them forth from place to place, from city to city, until he had retained the one half of their property and the one half of their land. And thus ended the 61st year of the reign of the judges. And it came to pass in the 62nd year of the reign of the judges that Moronah had obtained no more possessions over the Lamanites. Therefore, they did abandon their design to obtain the remainder of their lands, for so numerous were the Lamanites, that it became impossible for the Nephites to obtain more power over them. Therefore, Moronah did employ all his armies in maintaining those parts which he had taken. And it came to pass, because of the greatness of the number of the Lamanites, the Nephites were in great fear. Notice this now. Lest they should be overpowered and trodden down and slain and destroyed. And our enemies are just as great around about us as those Lamanites were around the Nephites. And except we repent and turn back full purpose of heart to God to keep his commandments that he has given us, we will not prosper or prevail either. It says, yea, they began to remember the prophecies of Alma and also the words of Mosiah, and they saw that they had been a stiff-necked people and that they had set it not the commandments of God, and that they had altered and trampled under their feet the laws of Mosiah, or that which the Lord commanded him to give unto the people. And thus, seeing that their laws had become corrupted, that they had become a wicked people, insomuch that they were wicked even like unto the Lamanites. Again, I would like to draw a comparison. Oh, I know that we don't have the Lamanites around us, but are we more righteous, or much more righteous than the people of the world around us? Are we keeping the commandments of God any more than they are? The questions I want you to answer for yourself, because verily I believe that we are not. Again, as I said before, we would have Zion. And it's because of these things. It says, and they saw that they had become weak, like unto their brethren the Lamanites, and that the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them. Yea, it had withdrawn from them, because the Spirit of the Lord doth not dwell in unholy temples. Therefore the Lord did cease to preserve them by his miraculous and matchless power. For they had fallen into the state of unbelief and awful wickedness. And they saw the Lamanites were more exceeding numerous than they, and except they should cleave unto the Lord their God, they must unavoidably perish. And that same statement applies to us. It applies to me. It applies to our brothers and my brothers and sisters. For behold, they saw the strength of the Lamanites was as great as their strength, even man for man. And thus they had fallen into great transgression. Yea, thus had they become weak because of their transgressions in the space of not many years. Well, what are the things that we have been commanded to do? Let's go to the Book of Commandments. The 48th chapter. Page 82 of the Book of Commandments. And begin with the first verse. I will read to the 13th verse. And this is the Lord speaking unto his people. And he is speaking unto us, just as much as he did back there in 1831. Hearken, O ye people of my church, to whom the kingdom has been given. Hearken ye, and give ear to him who laid the foundations of the earth, who made the heavens and all the hosts thereof, and by whom all things were made which live and move and have a being. And again I say, hearken unto my voice, lest death shall overtake you. In an hour when ye think not, the summer shall be past, and the harvest ended, and your souls not saved. In an hour when we think not, we will see the Son of Man coming. And if we haven't returned with full purpose of heart, we might be in contrast with those that their souls are not saved. He says, listen to him who is the advocate with the Father, who is pleading your case before him, saying, Father, behold the suffering and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son, which was shed, the blood of him whom thou gavest, that thy Son might be glorified. Wherefore, Father, spare these, my brethren, that believe on my name. Notice, pleading. He says, wherefore, spare these, my brethren, that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and everlasting life. Hearken, O ye people of my church, and ye elders, listen together, and hear my voice while it is called today, and harden not your hearts. For verily I say unto you, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the light and life of the world, a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Came unto my own, and my own received me not. But unto as many as received me gave I power to do many miracles, and to become the sons of God. And we have that power. By turning unto him. By coming down in the depths of humility and begin to do those things which he has commanded, we will have that power that we can become the sons of God also. And even to unto them that believed on my name gave I power to obtain or know eternal life. And even so, I have sent my everlasting covenant into the world, to be a light to the world, and to be a standard for my people, and for the Gentiles to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. Wherefore, come ye unto it. And with him that cometh, I will reason, as with men in days of old. And I will show to you my strong reasoning. And if we will, brothers and sisters, come unto him with full purpose of heart, he will reason with us. He will send the Holy Spirit to each one of us to reason with us. Not only that, I believe with all my heart, he will begin to send angels to reason with us. And now going over to the 58th verse of that same chapter on page 87, I would like you to listen to this also. And he says, "Wherefore I, the Lord, said, Gather ye out from the eastern lands, assemble yourselves together, ye elders of my church. Go ye forth into the western countries. Call upon the inhabitants to repent. And inasmuch as they do repent, build up churches unto me. And with one heart and with one mind, gather up your riches, that you may purchase an inheritance which shall hereafter be appointed unto you. And it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God." Are we going to do that? That commandment is to you and I, just as much as it was to those back there in the early church. Gather up our riches and begin to purchase an inheritance in this part of the Lord's vineyard. For why? That we might build up that new city, New Jerusalem, to be a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come into it. And it shall be called man. And it shall come to pass among the wicked. Notice this now, the condition that will be. And it shall come to pass that among the wicked, that every man that will not take up his sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven. And it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. Are we hearing the voice of our Master? And it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, Let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible. Wherefore we cannot stand. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all the nations. It shall come to Zion singing songs of everlasting joy. I would like to take you to the Doctrine and Covenants again. Section 94. And read almost the same thing. Because the Lord is speaking, or has spoken. And I desire to bring this to you that we might in ourselves begin to do those things which we have been commanded to do. This was given August 2nd, 1833. Beginning with the third verse. Verily I say unto you, that it is my will that an house should be built unto me in the land of Zion. This was after the place of their inheritance had been appointed. Verily I say unto you, that it is my will that an house should be built unto me in the land of Zion, like unto the pattern which I have given you. Yea, let it be built speedily by the tithing of my people, for a place of salvation. Behold, this is the tithing and sacrifice which I, the Lord, require at your hands, that there may be an house built unto me, for the salvation of Zion. Right here I'll go back to Malachi and read the rest of that third chapter of Malachi, or part of the rest of it, beginning with, maybe I could read the seventh verse over again. From the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Then he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. What was it I just read? He wanted not once his people to build a house speedily by the tithing of his people. Behold, this is tithing and sacrifice that I would require at their hand, that there may be an house built unto me for the salvation of Zion. Going back to Malachi, the ninth verse, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If we will turn unto him, he will do that. If we will turn unto him and begin to do the things he has commanded us to do, after we have accepted, yes, and taken upon us the name of his Son, and promised to keep his commandments. Then he says, I will reap the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I'll go back to reading in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 94, in the third verse. This building that is to be built for the salvation of Zion. You see, he says, for a place of thanksgiving for all saints, and for a place of instruction. Notice, all the wicked mourn. For behold, and lo, vengeance cometh speedily upon the ungodly. And who are the ungodly? We say they are the people of the world. If we do not keep the commandments which we have been given, as I read to you before, we are become transgressors. And if we become transgressors, then we also become ungodly. For behold, and lo, vengeance cometh speedily upon the ungodly as the whirlwind, and who shall escape it? The Lord's scourge shall pass over by night and by day, and the report thereof shall vex all people. Look at the things happening in the world, brothers and sisters. If you do not think it is pretty vexing, hardly a day goes by before there is killings and murders. Right in this vicinity, in Kansas City. It shall not be stayed until the Lord come, for the indignation of the Lord is kindled against their abominations and all their wicked works. But now I bring to you a little bit of lightness. Nevertheless, Zion shall escape, if she observe to do all things whatsoever I have commanded her. If she observe not to do whatsoever I have commanded her, I will visit her according to all her works, with sore affliction, with pestilence, with plague, with sword, with vengeance, with devouring fire. Nevertheless, let it be read this once in their ears, I, the Lord, have accepted of their offering, and if she sin no more, none of these things shall come upon her. And I will bless her with blessings, and multiply a multiplicity of blessings upon her, and upon her generations forever and ever, saith the Lord God. Now, while I'm in the Doctrine and Covenants, I want to go to the 98th section for some more admonition that the Lord has given. And read a portion of the 10th verse. I'm looking for when this was given. This also was given in 1833, December 16th. It says, Now verily I say unto you, let all the churches gather together their monies. Let these things be done in their time. Be not in haste, and observe to have all things prepared before you. And let honorable men be appointed, even wise men, and send them to purchase these lands. And every church in the eastern countries, when they are built up, if they will hearken unto this counsel, they may buy lands and gather together upon them, and in this way they may establish Zion. This is the way. But we'll have to have it in our hearts to want to establish Zion, or we will not do it. Then he goes on to say, There is even now already in store sufficient, yea, even abundance, to redeem Zion and establish her waste places, no more to be thrown down, where the churches who call themselves after my name willing to hearken to my voice. These things are serious matters. And I want to bring to you another thought, back again to the 81st section, the third verse. Because it is very important. Very, very important. And I believe it's the Lord speaking. He says, And again I say unto you, I give unto you a new commandment, that you may understand my will concerning you. Or in other words, I give unto you directions how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation. I, the Lord, am bound. Notice, he says, I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say. But when you do not what I say, you have no promise. We wonder sometimes and sometimes kind of complain a little bit because we don't receive the blessings and the healings that we think we ought to. Well, let's look at these things. Let's consider them. Let's pray over them. Now I'd like to take you again to the Book of Mormon on page 629, for some words of Christ. I read one verse. And it reads like this, O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you? Notice the statement, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, if ye will repent and return to me with full purpose of heart. The other Sunday I heard a sermon here where we were to put Christ, to make Christ our foremost priority, and the things that he has told us to do. And again, I say, just like my brother did at that time, brothers and sisters, let us come down in humility and acknowledge unto the Lord that we have turned his ways somewhat, that we are willing to turn back unto him and to begin to do those things which he has commanded us to do. Yea, let us begin to bring forth that which could establish that temple, that house of the Lord. Let us begin to do those things that would even bring forth and establish the cause of Zion, that we might be worthy of the blessings of the Lord that he has in store for us. My prayer and my hope is that each one of us will do this. I thank you for your attention.